with seat among God's people. So it is true that love is the hallmark of God's children. And we'll come to that later on in our message this morning. But before we come to our text, I just want to look at the times in which Jesus lived. And that will help us to understand the reason why Jesus Christ would say to his disciples to love one another. Because Jesus Christ in his day, the day that he was living in, is no different from today. There was hatred even back then. Right? If you were not part of this group, then you must hate the other group. That's how it was back in the day of Jesus Christ. So, for example, the Pharisees, they had this great zeal for the law of God. And anyone who did not follow the law of God, the disciple, the Pharisees and the zealots, they would actually kill others who do not follow the law. And you know who is one of the perfect examples of that in the scriptures? A Pharisee who went about killing people for zeal of the law? Paul the Apostle. In Galatians chapter 1, it says, Paul says about himself, "For you have heard of my former way of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure." Paul says, "I tried to destroy the church. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my traditions." So there was hatred back in the day of Jesus Christ, and there is hatred today. But the answer is love. And that's what Jesus commands his disciples, and that's what he commands us today. So my first point is that love for one another is God's new order for his people. This is what God wants for his people. Notice Jesus says, John chapter 13 and verse 34, "A new commandment. A new commandment I give to you." Now notice Jesus gives this commandment just after he says that he is going away to the Father. In verse 33, he says, "Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You shall seek me. And as I said to the Jews, I now say to you also, where I am going, you cannot come." So Jesus is departing. He's going back to the Father. And he's telling his disciples that he gives them a new commandment. A new commandment I give to you. A new commandment. Now, when Jesus says a new commandment, Jesus Christ here is making a distinction from the old. Now, let me just read, because Jesus says a new commandment I give to you, that you should love one another. And we'll come back to this, and you will see that when Jesus says a new commandment, he is not really saying this is something that they have not known before, because in the Old Testament, it was already mentioned. But we'll come back to this a little later on. But on the eve of his departure, just before he departed back to the Father, Jesus Christ says to his disciples, "A new commandment." So why a new commandment? Because love for one another, love for our neighbors, is a very old commandment. Back in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, that's a commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. But what Jesus Christ is doing here, he's saying to his disciples that you are able to do what Israel could not have done. You're able to love one another because you are the new people of God, because you have the Spirit of God in your heart. And that's the difference, my friends. You remember Paul says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. That could not have been said to the people of God in the Old Testament. It is only those who are in Christ, those who are Christians, that can truly say that God's love is shed in our hearts. In other words, the Spirit of God dwells in our hearts so that we are able to love as Jesus Christ commands us to love one another. So he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. So that word commandment, a new commandment, as I said before, it is not really new at all. So in Leviticus chapter 19 in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, notice what it says. Leviticus 19 and verse 18. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel, right? So you can say that, you know, Jesus Christ is a new Moses because he's giving a new commandment. So Moses is speaking to the children of Israel. And in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, notice what he says. He says, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people. That is the sons of your people among the Israelites. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself, right? So it's mentioned way back in the Old Testament, right? It's an old command. It's given long, long ago. But now Jesus says that he gives a new commandment. What does he mean by that? Well, a commandment is that which God orders us to do. It is not something that we have an option. It's a commandment. It's an order. We are commanded to love one another. But Jesus is telling his disciples that it is a new commandment because they are the new people of God. They have the Holy Spirit dwelling in their hearts. And you know what, my friends? That is the way we serve God and serve each other. That's the way we love one another, by serving one another. And that's the way we serve each other, by loving one another. In fact, in John chapter 13, in the earlier part of John chapter 13, you recall when Jesus Christ was with the disciples, he washed their feet and he wiped them with towel. You recall Jesus did that to his disciples? And the disciples were shocked. In fact, Peter says to Jesus that, you know, Lord, don't wash my feet only, but also my hands on my head. But what Jesus Christ was showing them there is that this is what it really means to love one another, to serve each other, to take the humblest position. Now, Jesus Christ is not telling us that we should go around as Christians with towels in our hands and washing the feet of people. He's just giving us a picture of what it means to serve others, right? That we should take the lowest position. In fact, Jesus Christ didn't have to wash the feet of the disciples. It was customary in the day of Jesus Christ that the servant was the one who washed the feet of those who were the masters and Lord. But Jesus Christ here takes the position of a servant and he washes the feet of his disciples. And so this new commandment that he has given to the disciples and to the church is based upon the fact that Jesus Christ is indeed the one who has demonstrated to us what it means to love one another. Because what Jesus did in washing the feet of his disciples was something very strange, very unusual. And so Jesus Christ is saying, this is a new commandment, we love each other. Now, think about the people to whom Jesus Christ has given this commandment. A whole array of men of different personalities. Think of Peter, the rock. Think of John and his brother James. They were called the sons of thunder. Andrew and Bartholomew. Matthew, a tax collector, and Thomas, we call the doubter. And all of these men, there were various personalities. So could you imagine, or you could imagine how difficult it would be for these guys to love each other. And we can apply to different groups today, even in our own local church or different churches, when people of different nations and different cultures come together with all our different cultural baggages or whatever, how difficult it is to love one another. But it's possible because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling with us. And so love for one another is what Jesus Christ, and it's what God wants for us. Love one another, Jesus says. Now, this word love in our text is the word, the Greek word agape. Now, there's another Greek word, phileo, which means brotherly love. And there are two other words in Greek that is used for love. But the word that Jesus uses here is a word that's different from phileo. It is the love that God alone possesses. It is the love that is the very nature of God himself. For the Bible says, God is love. God is love. And that is agape. And so, this new commandment is based upon the fact that we are new creatures in Christ and we are able to love one another. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. That is what it is. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, you are a new person. If you have come to faith in Christ, all of the old things have gone. In other words, God's judgment and all of the things of the past have gone, and God sees you as a new creature in Christ. And so we are able to love one another. One of the most beautiful things to see is people of all nations joining together who are not able to do that except in the church and worship together as one in Christ. And that's what the world needs. Christ. That's the bottom line. The world needs Jesus. So secondly, Christ's love for us is the paradigm of our love for one another. We can only love each other the way Christ loved us. You notice what he says here? Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you love one another. You see that? That's the paradigm. Jesus' love for us is the pattern as to how we ought to love one another. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, how did Christ love us? And this is the most important part of my message this morning. How did he love us? Well, first of all, Christ loved his people unconditionally. He loved us unconditionally. Why did he love us unconditionally? Because we did not deserve his love. We did not deserve his love. God did not love us because we are lovely or lovable. No, the Bible says that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us unconditionally. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And in the same way, we ought to love others unconditionally, not because of who they are or what they possess or their position in life, or because they are of the same culture. We love one another unconditionally, just as how Jesus loved us when we did not deserve his love. In the same way, we love others, even when they do not deserve. And moreover, we love others because we have actually experienced the love of God. See, when we come to realize that God loved us unconditionally and we did not deserve his love, then we can love anyone else. Anyone else. They don't have to measure up to our standards. And in fact, if anyone was to measure up to my standard would be very low. And I hope that our standards are very low when it comes to loving others. Secondly, Christ loved us sacrificially. Right? He loved us, first of all, unconditionally, but he also loved us sacrificially. In John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you." And then he says, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." In John chapter 10 and verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." That is sacrificial love. And the world doesn't know that. Because when the world talks about love, the world says that I will take from another person for myself. But agape love, the love that Jesus is talking about here, is not the love that takes, but the love that gives. The love that gives for the benefit of the other person. That's what Christ did for us. He gave himself so that we can become God's children. He gave himself for our benefit. That is sacrificial love. That is what he did on the cross. Thirdly, Jesus Christ loved his people completely. And that's very important, because oh, how many times Jesus Christ could have given up on his disciples, and how many times he could have given up upon us. But in John chapter 13, verse 1, notice what it says. "Now before the feast of Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world," notice, he loved them, notice, to the end. Or he loved them to the uttermost, completely, or he loved them fully, or continually, or eternally. In other words, Jesus' love for his people, God's love for us, is never ending. That's amazing. When you think of the way human beings love one another naturally, our love tends to be based upon whether the person who is loved keep up to our standard. But Jesus Christ was not like that. God is not like that. You know how many times Jesus Christ could have given up on his disciples? Think about Peter. When Jesus Christ said to Peter that he will go to the cross and die, and Peter rebuked Jesus Christ. Christ could have just, you know, forget Peter and all the disciples and live them. But no, he continued to love them even to the very end. And that is how God loves us. He loves us to the very uttermost. to the full extent. In fact, someone said that, you know, when you look at Jesus' arms stretched on the cross, that's how he loved us. See his arms on the cross. He loved us to the full extent. And he demonstrated his love for us in that way. He did not give up upon us. So, we should love one each other unconditionally, just as Christ loved us. We should love one another sacrificially, and we should love one another continually. And my final point is this, that our love for one another distinguishes us as God's people. That is what distinguishes God's people from the rest of the world. Love for each other. Love for, first of all, God's people, and love for others outside of the circle of God's people. See, that's what Jesus says in John 13:35. By this love for one another, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. How can you know that someone is a disciple of Christ? How can you know that someone is a Christian? How can you tell that someone is a believer in Christ? Well, when they love other Christians. That's what tells someone is a Christian, when they love God's people. See? Yes, we ought to love those outside of the church, but the true mark of a child of God is love for other Christians. And when we love others within the body of Christ, then we are able to love those outside of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what the world needs today. And in all of the chaos and madness in the world that's happening presently, this is a great opportunity for the people of God to actually show the world what true love is, what it really means to live harmoniously. Let them look to the church. Let them look to God's people and see what and how we can really live the way God wants us to live. This is the love that comes only from Christ. It is not the love that you find in the world that's only temporary, but it's permanent and it's based upon faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the kind of love that is planted in the hearts of God's people. It is a kind of love that knows that its sins have been forgiven. When we truly know that God has forgiven us such a great multitude of sin, then we can say, God really loves me indeed. When we experience his love, then we can share that love with others. May God help us, the church, to demonstrate what Christ has commanded us to demonstrate. Because that's what he called the church. The church is God's mission in the world. It's a mission of love to demonstrate to the world what God really demands and wants from us. So if you're here this morning and you have never known God's love, I pray that you will come to know this love so that we can love and you can love others as God loves us. Again, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you may also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And may this be our mission as Scarborough Baptist Church, as we go forth in this life. In everything that we do, let this be our mission so that the world can truly see, our neighbors can truly see that we are a church that loves others for God's glory. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. We pray that you, by your grace, would help us to love one another. Thank you, Father, for giving yourself to us on the cross of Calvary to die for our sins. We pray that you'll help us to love others even as you have loved us. I pray for each one here this morning. May you bless them today and all the days that are ahead. Thank you so much for being with us. We pray that you would shower us with your goodness and your mercies all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. And now let's have the benediction. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. And all God's people would say, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day in Christ's name. Amen.